Good morning. Before I go into the message this morning, I want to thank James for leading those songs this morning. I texted him last night and asked him if he would be willing to, and he was. So I thank you for that. I appreciate seeing young people that are willing to take part, and I just invite all the young people. There are jobs that you maybe think aren't for you. I think we still need a trustee. Things like that, the young people, I invite your participation. You're welcome to help out. And I encourage that. Three R's of the gospel. Matthew 22:37 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Who is this commandment intended for? It was given to the children of Israel. It was not given to the Canaanites. It was not given to all the ites that they drove out of the land ahead of them, or God did. It was given to the children of Israel. I'd like to spend some time looking at three R's that represent a sort of progression that I think all Christians go through. We each may move through them at different rates, at different speeds, maybe even back and forth and all around a little bit sometimes. But I do believe that for the true Christian, for the one who is a born-again child of God, there will be an ever-changing and growing reality in our perspective of God and our love for Him. The three R's are respect, realization, and relish. And that's not pickle relish. Respect. Respect who God is. I realized by the time I was done with the word respect that this is going to be three messages rather than one with 3 points. So today we're going to look at respect. The next one is realization, but realize what He's done for me. And then the third one is relish my relationship with Him. So the first one is respect. And I guess the point that I want to make is that when I ask who this commandment is given to, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, I don't believe that is where we start in our relationship with God. In, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 2, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God." I believe we need to start in our relationship with God with respect. Whether that means love, whether that means feelings for Him or not, but a realization, a respect for who He is. I'm not talking about being fearful, not simply talking about being fearful of what He's capable of doing to you or to me, although that certainly is part of it. Have you ever seen anything like this on a truck or something? Oops, I missed one. Respect. Have you ever seen something like this on the back of a souped-up truck or whatever? Fear this. Isn't it something how Satan likes to take what God has said, what Jesus has said or done, and turn it into something else? Luke 12:4-5, Jesus is speaking. He says, "I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid." Don't fear this. "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more power, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him, which after He hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him." That is God. I remember at one time when I was a boy, I remember reading that and thinking, oh, okay, I'm not supposed to fear men who can kill me. I'm supposed to be afraid of Satan. He's the one that can kill me and then throw me into hell. That's not true. God is the one who can kill you and throw you into hell. Fear Him. Psalm 76, 7. Thou, even Thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in Thy sight when once Thou art angry? We're looking at an actual fear here, and then we'll get into the respect. Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. That's a different sense of the same word, dread. There's fear, and then there's dread. When you dread something, that's a significant fear. Let Him be your dread. So we see that there's an aspect of fear, of actually being afraid, that should be there when we consider God. At least at the beginning of our relationship with Him. What I want us to think about is more of a respect for who He is, not just what He could do to you. I want this phrase to stick in your mind this morning. Respect the position. How many of you know the name Ken Malone? How many of you know who that is? I had to Google it to find out. Mary knows. Ken Malone is the mayor of Sturgis. What's that? Okay. If Ken Malone were here this morning, and we knew who he was, we would probably notice. We would probably, even if he were just attending, if he were just here as a visitor, not here to address us, we would probably notice. Hey, if we knew who he was, we would probably take note of that. Hey, the mayor of town is here. The mayor of Sturgis. We respect the position. If, while we were noticing him, Rick Snyder walked in. Who's Rick Snyder? The governor of Michigan. A higher position. They're both just men. But if Rick Snyder were to walk in, maybe with an entourage, he might have a few people with him, maybe a guard or two. And again, if we knew who he was, we'd suddenly not notice Ken quite so much and instead would pay attention to Rick. We respect the position. If, after a while, President Barack Obama were to walk in with his guards and his escorts, we'd really notice the President of the United States is here. We respect the position. The whole time that this were going on, there would be police escorts, there would be armed guards, there would be Secret Service agents all over the place. And we may notice them, but we really wouldn't give them much attention. All the while, they are the ones with guns. They are the ones with combat training. They are the ones that if you try to do something are going to harm you physically. And we don't give them the same respect that we give the mayor or the governor or the president. It's not because they are lesser men. In fact, if you're going to go hand to hand with somebody, you're probably going to be better off taking on the mayor or the governor or the president than you are one of the Secret Service men. Obama doesn't look very tough in any of the pictures that I've seen of him. I don't agree with many of his ideas. But if I were to meet him and talk to him face to face, I would call him sir. We respect the position. The man doesn't matter. It's the position he holds. Now with God, the person does matter. But what I want us to look at, if we can respect the mayor, if we can respect the governor, if we can respect the president of the United States, how does maker of heaven and earth sound to you? God has great potential, great power to do us harm. But at the same time, even besides and beyond that, just who He is should inspire awe in us. I'd like for you, Romans 1:18-22. You'll be turning to Isaiah. But right now, Romans 1:18-22 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Verse 20 says, "The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Who He is, though we can't see Him, by looking at the creation of the world, we clearly see who He is. Being understood by the things that are made. There are those that say they don't believe in God. The Bible says all believe in God, all understand who He is because they see it in creation. So that they are without excuse. Psalm 24:1-2. A psalm of David. "The earth is the Lord's, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." I don't care what kind of equipment you get, what kind of power you have, nuclear bomb, whatever it is. Nothing, we can't come close to recreating another earth and solar system and all. I mean, we just pale. It's not even a comparison, let alone paling in comparison. Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That phrase, "with whom we have to do," really grabbed me, I don't know, a while back here. But the fact that I am alive, I am an eternal creature, and there's nothing I can do about it, and He is who I have to do with. There is no way to avoid that. He is, it's Him with whom we have to do. It's not maybe, it's not if. This is who we are being watched by. This is He who sees all. This is He with whom we have to reckon. Let's turn to Isaiah 40:12-31. I would like to read that. Isaiah 40:12-31. And just let yourself be impressed, I guess, by this God with whom we have to do. Respect the position. Isaiah 40:12. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollows of His hand?" Try to visualize all of this as we go through it. Maybe I'll just kind of comment on it as we go. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" I don't know if He took one to make an ocean, or if we would say He took 10. Either way, He used His hands to measure the waters. Another place you can look, and I didn't look it up exactly what chapter, but I know that when God and Job were talking, and Job just gives his complaints and his, you know, why is all this going on? And God says, "All right, Job, I want you to think a little bit." And a lot of it is the same, similar to this. But he again says, who made the world? Who told the sea you could only come this far? Who did this? Who did this? And in the end, Job says, I repent in dust and ashes. I forgot who you are and who I am. And meted out heaven with a span. That's like this. You know, I can measure a bluegill like that. But God measures the heavens with the span of his hand. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And weighed the mountains in scales. And the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? God is all-knowing. He needs no one to teach him anything. With whom took he counsel? He, asked advice. Who did he get advice from? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Everything you know, you've learned. That's not the case with God. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows. He knew it. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. You know, if you were going to go the balance, that's the old balance scale where you have the pivot point in the middle and you've got a basket on each end. You lay a 1 pound weight here and then you put a pound of cheese or whatever you're trying to buy here. And when it balances, you've got a pound. He weighed things in a balance. He says, the nations are as the drop of a bucket. If you were going to buy 5 gallons of something, and you notice there was a drop in the bucket before they filled it, you wouldn't say, oh, wait a minute, I want my 5 gallons. Get the drop out of there. The drop in the bucket means nothing. He says there, the drop of a bucket, or as counted as the small dust of the balance. Now, you might want your cheese to stay clean, but do you make sure he polishes it good so that there's no dust on there to affect the weight when you're offsetting a pound? To him, the nations are as a drop of a bucket or the dust of the balance. You know, just the dust you would blow off of it. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. Lebanon was famous for its pine trees, its cedars, and just huge amounts of forest and cedar and timber. It is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stocks shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as a stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. That's what he told Abraham. Come out at night. Look at the stars. Who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He counts them. He brings them out by number. He calleth them all by names. By the greatness of his might. And this phrase really caught me. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He didn't just send the stars out there and there they are. He maintains them. That is why the stars do not go out. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I was just really blessed in reading this passage and just noticing the God that we serve, respecting the Maker of heaven and earth. The single most impressive, I think this is true. This is, I mean, we have the whole thing of Calvary, of Christ dying, salvation. That is the biggest event, we might say, in history. But the single most impressive thing or show of power and strength that God has to His name that we know of is the creation of heaven and earth. That is something that man simply has no way of even dreaming of coming up with. He measured the waters in his hands, measured the heavens with a span. I mentioned this in my last message, but it's worth remembering. He told the stars, "You go out this far and stay there." And then we just read, he actually keeps them there. He maintains them. He told the sun, "You go to this point." He told the planets, "You go out this far. You rotate in place and also revolve around the sun." And they do it. Mountains, be raised up. Valleys, go this far down. Moon and oceans work together. And the ocean only come this far. They all obey. Do you? Do I? I have it in my notes. I already touched on it, but he brings out the stars by number and calleth them by names. And it's because he is strong that none faileth. How can we not fall on our faces before someone who can do that? Respect the position. This is the God of the universe we're talking about here. Respect Him. I always think it's interesting that in the story of Jonah, most of us know the story. Jonah decided he wasn't going to go to Nineveh as God told him to do. So he went down and got on a boat and sailed for Joppa. And on the way there a storm arose. And these were seasoned sailors, we would believe. And this was a bad storm, a real storm. Now let's just look at what happens. The difference in the fear in these men. Jonah 1, 4 through 5 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." It says the Lord sent out a great wind, and it says there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken, and the mariners were afraid. But what was their response? They prayed to their gods. They didn't realize who had sent this storm. They prayed to their gods and they cast the tackle and the whatever the ship was hauling, cast that out to try to make the ship lighter. They were afraid. And then you go down into verse 8 through 10, and it says, "Then said they unto him," talking to Jonah, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord." And what do we give credit to God for? "The God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And then we see their response. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They didn't keep trying to come up with their own ideas after this. They said, they asked him, What can we do? Because they realized that if they are dealing with the Lord who made heaven and earth, this is a whole different ballgame. They were exceedingly afraid. So the first R in our relationship with God is respect. We have a fear and a realization of who we've sinned against in our terrible guilt before Him. Hebrews 10, 28 through 31. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Next time, Lord willing, we will look at realization of what He's done. I believe that we all need to come to a level of respect before what He has done will do us any good. But next week, or the next time I preach, we'll look at realizing what He has done to take away that fear, to make us able to access Him. The first step in having a relationship with God is to respect Him. This is no average being you have offended. This is not the governor or the president. He is the maker of heaven and earth. Respect the physician. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank You for who You are. Thank You, Lord, that we are not serving a puny God who has contemporaries, who has those that strive with Him for mastery. That You are the one and only. That You are the maker of heaven and earth. All glory, all worship is due to Your name. I pray, Lord, You'd help us to grasp the significance of Your position, of who You are, Your glory. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that You would bless it, bless those who have prepared it, and all the work they put into this. I just pray Your blessing on the meal. We thank You. We bless You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.